This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. Yes.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Well, it is so good to be back with you in Afternoon Drive. I feel like I never left, and thank you for listening. Vice President Kamala Harris says the rebuilding of Florida should be based on not who needs it, not who deserves it, but equity. Equity. Yes, equity. The left loves equity. And they love, of course, pointing out racism at every single chance they get because, you know, hurricanes are racist, obviously. And so we must rebuild based on equity. 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. So great to be back with you here, 3 to 7 p.m., right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, and, of course, on the free Odyssey app. So the White House, again, is now clarifying Kamala Harris's comments. They have to do this a lot, pretty much whenever she speaks. She's either saying something idiotic or something really, really dumb. It's a combination of both sometimes, and this one is particularly impressive because it's a combination of idiotic and dumb, but at a time when millions of people are trying to rebuild after a hurricane. I mean, parts of Florida are completely devastated. Sanibel Island, beautiful island. If you've ever been there before, you were lucky to go because the bridge is completely destroyed and it's an island. So without the bridge, you can't get off the island and people are trapped there. So the Coast Guard's been rescuing people and they've been trying to do everything they possibly can. There are people who've seen their homes destroyed. The left is focused on two things right now. Blaming DeSantis for anyone who stayed behind. And he's got a great comment on this, by the way. He came out and he said, look, what are we going to do? We're going to go and just rip people out of their homes? That's not the role of government. Some people wanted to stay. Let's face it. Some people figured after all the nonsense they've heard over the years of the media hyping up storms that never happened, they figured they would risk it. Or they were just afraid to leave their pets or their house or whatever. I mean, you have a right to stay in your home. This is something that I know people on the left just cannot possibly fathom, but you actually have a right, and this is shocking, to stay in your home and try to protect it. It's a basic, fundamental American right. Well, in this case, they bet wrong, and the storm severely impacted their lives going forward forever. Many people died. But what does the Vice President of the United States think when it comes to all this? Does she think to herself, my God, you know, there are communities here that may never be rebuilt again unless we spend massive amounts of money and time and effort. And we got to make sure that that becomes our priority so that we can reopen these areas for tourists, for the residents, for everybody else, the businesses that are impacted. And don't forget, for a lot of these tourist areas, this is their livelihood. So all the people that work at Sanibel Island at the Sundial Resort, where I've had the pleasure to stay in the past, this is their livelihood has been destroyed after this storm. Is Kamala Harris worried about that? No. You see, this is an opportunity to throw out some buzzwords that have no meaning again. Equity. What does that equity even mean? Well, there's equality and there's equity, and they're not the same thing. Equality is we treat everybody the same. We hope for the best outcome. Everybody is afforded the chance for an equal outcome. Equity is everybody gets the same outcome, regardless of need, regardless of anything else, regardless of how hard you work, regardless of your town in life. It's a new thing that schools are doing now, too. They're doing everything based on equity. Well, this is a little audio clip here of the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, saying something that is both idiotic and dumb at the same time on equity. Take a listen.
It is our lowest income communities and our communities of color that are most impacted by these extreme conditions and impacted by issues that are not of their own making.
And so women.
we Absolutely. And so we have to address this in a way that is about giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out at the same place. And if we want people to be in an equal place, sometimes we have to take into account those disparities and do that work.
Yeah, woo, and they all clap. Those are meaningless words. They're all meaningless words. It has absolutely no value to anything. But you have to remember what the fundamental concept of the left is today, and that is that there's racism everywhere and social inequality and social inequity everywhere you look. So the job of government has to be to level the playing field for everybody. And there is no... The storm doesn't know anything. When it hits, it doesn't know who's poor and who's rich, who's got a second home and who doesn't. So you rebuild based on need, not on equity, based on need. You rebuild based on who was the hardest hit. That's what a normal person would think. But if you're a Democrat and you always see racism everywhere you look and you see inequality everywhere you look, this is just another excuse to use government to spread the wealth around. And that's really what this is. This is another excuse to just use government to essentially advance socialism, because that's what they believe. And everything is an opportunity to do that. Don't forget the famous saying, we never let a crisis go to waste. You can't do that. And this is a huge crisis. So in order then for Democrats to do what they do best, which is capitalize on people's fears and their hurts and their longings in life, they have to use the power of government to spend more money and to try to advance her socialist agenda. Not about you, but the storm doesn't think to itself, hey, if I hit this community, they'll be the hardest hit based on their equality or their inequality. The storm just thinks nothing because it's a storm. That's the thing. Like Kamala Harris, the storm doesn't think. That's why Kamala Harris and storms have a lot in common, because they don't think. Maybe they should name a storm after Kamala. Except the storm would just repeat itself over and over again. That's really what she does. Or just say the same thing. Kind of. Anyway, so if you have the opportunity now, if you're on the left, if you're a Democrat and you have the opportunity with this massive storm in Florida, you get to accomplish a couple things. Number one, of course, the holy grail for them, climate change. This is climate change. Now, there's no evidence that this storm was anything to do with climate change, because we had some really bad storms in the past before we were all driving cars. In fact, Sanibel and Captiva Islands used to be connected, and then a massive storm divided the two islands. But there used to be one big, that's why a lot of these barrier islands too are created by storms. So that's number one, climate change, and start screaming about that and demanding what? More money, of course, to be spent on climate change. Number two, to use the money that you have to boost up communities that are in Democrat areas. A lot of the areas she's talking about are in Democrat areas. So send them money, big old checky checkies. And third, of course, which is to try to destroy Ron DeSantis. Do everything they possibly can to destroy Governor Ron DeSantis' chances of becoming president of the United States. If Ron DeSantis were another kind of governor, he might try to do what they always do, which is to convince the media that he tried his best. He did his best to try to win their approval, but he's smart. He was a student of Rush Limbaugh, and he knows, and he remembered that you're never going to win these people over. You can't. Much like Donald Trump knew this lesson very, very well. You're never going to win them over. So you don't even try. You just fight them back. It's all you can do. You got to fight them back. They're already trying. There's a CNN reporter who actually confronted Governor Ron DeSantis about this point of the evacuation orders. You know, why didn't you come and just grab people by their collar and say, you get out? Now, I don't have the cut number of this, but I know it's on there. But here's a little snippet of this CNN reporter. Take a listen.
Is that one of the things you'll be reviewing once we get out of the aftermath, people get their power back on, looking at those evacuation orders? Because even Lee County, if they would have followed their own evacuation orders from what we reviewed, they should have had that mandatory evacuation order sooner.
Well, but, you know, the issue, though, is also that there were a lot of, you know, they informed people and most people did not want to do it. I mean, that's just the reality. So, you know, you're in a situation. Are you going to grab somebody out of their home that doesn't want to? I don't think that's the appropriate use of government. I mean, I think that takes it a little too far.
Democrats believe that. Democrats believe it's absolutely a great use of government. Come in and grab them out of their house and tell them how to live and tell them what drinks to drink and what food to choose and when to exercise, when not to. COVID vaccine mandates. They love to tell everybody what to do with themselves. They do. And they love the idea of powerful government coming in and kicking people out of their homes. But DeSantis isn't going to mess around. He's going to give it right back to them, of course, which is why he's so effective and why they hate him so much and why they're hoping that they can use this storm now to destroy his chances of becoming president. Let's face it, if Trump doesn't run again, DeSantis walks into this nomination. He does. No one else has the chance that he has of becoming the Republican nominee in 2024, period. Again, if Trump doesn't run. If Trump runs, DeSantis, I don't think, goes up against them because I don't think he would think that's a wise idea. But if Trump doesn't run, DeSantis, this is his nomination to lose. And mark my words, if he wants it, it's his. He's got it. And the media knows that, and they hate him for it. That's why they were blaming him for his thoughts on climate change, as if he had just thought different things. Maybe the storm would have taken, a different track or something like that. Oh, they hate him. They would love to use this as an opportunity to destroy him. I know it sounds callous and crass, but it doesn't make it any less true to say that they were rooting for the storm. They were. They were rooting for this hurricane. I know it's crass and it's mean to say, but it doesn't make it any less true. Remember how they can justify that, too. They'll turn around and they'll say, but remember, no matter what damage the storm does, it's not nearly as bad as the damage that Death Santis can do with another term as governor, or the damage that Death Santis can do if he becomes president of the United States. So if we can stop him now, then it's worth it. If the storm can come in and just destroy people and end it all, then it's worth it. And they'll justify that. They really will. They'll justify that. And the other thing they ask him, too, is they go, how dare you, sir? How dare you now ask for hurricane relief money when you objected as a congressman to voting for relief money in the past? That's a legitimate question that they asked him. And his answer is very, very simple. Look around. Just look around here at what's going on in Florida. Look at what's happening in the state. Doesn't sound so bad now to be in Martha's Vineyard, does it? I mean, if you were down there as an immigrant, you crossed the country illegally, you're hanging out in Florida, now you're in Martha's Vineyard, you're not in the center of the storm. Doesn't sound like such a bad thing, huh? See, that's the other irony of all this, too, which is that the same people that are screaming why Ron DeSantis did not go into the homes, kick down their doors, and have sheriff's officers and state police rip people off their couches and say, get out, are the same people that 4 hours earlier were screaming, how dare he load people into buses under false pretenses and fly them to the hellhole known as Martha's Vineyard, where people are eating soy yogurt. And that is hell. In my image of hell, people are eating soy yogurt, but that's beside the point. And none of the people were duped. They all knew what they were getting, and they wanted to go. And why not? People spend lots of money to go there. They do. They love it. It's a beautiful place to be. But right before the storm, if you remember, DeSantis was a madman, a monster. How dare you send people up there without their own whale belts? How are they going to fend for themselves without boat shoes? And now, suddenly, how dare you not make people leave if they didn't want to leave? How dare you not physically grab people and make them leave Florida? It's very hard to understand sometimes the logic of these people, but yet we'll do our best here on the show. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, if you'd like to tweet along, feel free to do so. But I don't know about you, but if I was an illegal immigrant and I was up in Martha's Vineyard, even though I am surrounded by a bunch of mass holes, I still would be happy that I'm not in Florida, potentially now in a shelter or some other place because of the hurricane. I'd be thrilled. I mean, DeSantis, I'm getting on my knees and thanking him right now. I am thanking God for him right now. If me and my family were sent up there on an airplane to Martha's Vineyard and I had to deal with things such as chai, because I don't even know what chai is. I mean, people order that sometimes. Chai lattes. First of all, if you order a chai latte, you're voting Democrat. Let's just be honest. I'm not saying you're a bad person, but you're going to vote. I don't know many conservative. I've been to conservative events a lot in my life. I've never heard a conservative order a chai latte. I don't even know, because I don't even know what it is. First of all, a latte is a gateway to liberalism. It really is, if you think about it. You're getting steamed milk. It's all frothed. It's like very little coffee in there. It's your base. And then when you upgrade it to like a soy latte or a chai latte, you know, at that point, you're blue. You're all blue. There's no coming back. Maybe there's a school. I don't know. It just kind of change you, reform you. But the one thing I do know is that if I'm up there, even though they moved us off of Martha's Vineyard after 48 hours, because the shock and the horror to the residents up there was too much to look around and see all these brown people in Martha's Vineyard, even though that was too much. In 48 hours, they said, get on a bus. We're taking you out of here. We're bringing you to Cape Cod, the other hellscape. I'm thrilled that I'm not down in Florida. I mean, how many Floridians right now would have loved if Ron DeSantis had put them on a plane and sent them to Martha's Vineyard so they didn't have to watch their lives destroyed by a storm? But that's the ironic part of all this, is that the very same criticism he gets now is what they were criticizing him for just a week before. Only it's flipped. Only now it's that he didn't force people to leave. He didn't make people leave Florida. He allowed them to stay back. How dare you give people a choice, sir? How dare you say to adults that you might want to stay in the house that you paid for to look over your valuables? I'm not saying it's a choice I would have made. Let's face it, I'm kind of a coward. I would run as soon as possible. But, well, no, I have kids. Patrick, Claire, and Reagan would not fare well in a hurricane. Reagan is a hurricane. I have my own Cat 5 every day of my life. So I would get out of there. That's me, though. But I'm not going to begrudge anybody if they stay behind. I'm not going to do that to them. You made your decision. You made a choice. And sometimes that choice proved fatal. But that's life, though. That's life. And that's okay. And I know it's a concept Democrats have a hard time understanding. Adults making choices with their lives sometimes don't have the best outcomes, but many times they do have great outcomes. But when government gets involved, more than likely it doesn't have a great outcome. And that's the truth. And for a lot of people, they spent so much time hearing about the fake news of storms, this storm and that storm, they just thought, you know what? I've been through this before. I'll ride it out. That was another decision that they made. But then to criticize DeSantis for that is pathetic. But this is only the beginning, you realize. Every single person who died will be used to try to stop Ron DeSantis' political ascent. Every single one of them. And it'll be cheap and petty, no doubt about that. Cheap and petty to use their deaths, the tragedy of their deaths, to try to stop his political ascension. But they'll do it. And they'll justify doing it by saying just how awful DeSantis would be if we don't stop him now. You'll see. I mean, they're already doing it on The View. They're already doing it everywhere you look because he is public enemy number one besides Trump. Stop him, stop Trump, and then they think they'll be okay. And they won't be. Let's face it, Joe Biden is not running for president again. He can't. He possibly cannot. Joe Biden is not going to run, and Gavin Newsom is going to run, the hare from California. And it's going to be a Newsom-DeSantis match, one-on-one, mano-a-mano, my state versus your state, my record versus yours. And the media knows that if you put those two records side by side, DeSantis wins. People are happier in Florida. People are leaving California to come to Florida. And that's why they want to stop him now. 855-839-1210 is the number. But equity for hurricane relief, equity for rebuilding, no. We focus on need. Stop using every opportunity as an opportunity to spread socialism, more racial inequality nonsense, more division. It's what they know. It's what they do. It's all they do. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. My return to afternoon drive with you. So glad you're here today. We'll be right back.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
It is me, Rich Zeoli, back with you in the afternoons. Great to be with you on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. I'm sorry if I offended you for being a chai tea latte drinker, like the greater Chris on Twitter is admitting to the fact that he's had chai tea. I'm not quite sure what it is, but either way. And Ultra MAGA Chris is saying that he actually had Dunkin' with oat milk. All right, fine. All right. Okay, so maybe I was way off of my stereotype there about what it means to be a liberal. But nevertheless, most likely, chances are, if you're doing a soy milk latte, especially in Martha's Vineyard, can we agree at least on that point that you're probably going blue? Let me just throw that out there, all right? Again, there's no hard, fast rules. Sometimes it could change. Oh, and speaking of hard, fast rules, one thing I do want to mention, though, as the show progresses today, is we are still going to do Who Won Social Media. Matt DeSantis, my trusty executive producer, will be monitoring social media. And we will select a Who Won Social Media winner. We just haven't gotten around to getting any imaging for it yet, have we, DeSantis?
Of course not.
Of course not. But at some point, we will. Morning show takes priority now, apparently. But at some point, they'll come up with imaging for this. And that'll be great. And then what we'll do is we'll say who won. So tweet, Facebook post, send me the notes. All right? Send it to me. whatever you like, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And you could also call as well, 855-839-1210. All right? Fantastic. It'd be great to be with you on social media as well, not just over the airwaves, but on social media in addition to that. We also are going to do, not going to do a what's on the cut sheet, but we do have a segment we're going to call, what are we calling it?
It doesn't have an official name yet, mostly because we don't have any imaging to back this up.
Right.
But I think we'll call it maybe like Stupid Clip of the Day.
Stupid Clip of the Day. And we'll do it four times in a show.
Whoa. So we're doing it two times a show,
we'll
Rich. How many stupid clips do you think I have?
There's a lot of stupid things that are said out there, Matt. So we could do this all day.
That's valid.
And just to quote Captain America, I could do this all day. We're also going to do the mystery movie clip, but right now it still says the morning mystery movie clip. And I don't want to throw off the time-space continuum, so I'm not going to try to do that. But just know that that's going to be here, too, at some point as well. And what else? Oh, my final thought, that stays. What doesn't stay? Oh, I know, my sleep deprivation, that's gone. Yeah, that doesn't stay in the afternoons. That was great. I slept till 6:30 this morning, made the kids breakfast, took the kids to school, hung out with Reagan, went grocery shopping with my wife, went out to breakfast. It was fantastic. Like a human being again. And I listened to the Nick Kale show. Kale and company, Nick did a great job today in his debut show. So I'm very, very proud of him. And of course, it was great hearing Nick interact so well with Dawn and Greg. And it was a fantastic show this morning. So definitely make sure you tune into the new morning show right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD every single day. But remember, the point by Kamala Harris is not the only dumb thing that she said recently. She also recently said this, which is our first stupid thing said by a stupid person of the day. Take a listen.
It is our lowest income communities and our communities.
Oh, sorry, I hit the wrong one.
That's right.
Here we go.
So the United States shares a very important relationship, which is an alliance with the Republic of North Korea. And it is an alliance that is strong and enduring.
It's true. I love our good friends in North Korea. Love those guys. They're so fun to play cards with, too. And have you tried their food? It's awesome. It's great. I particularly like the stale beef and the single piece of bread. That's my favorite. I love that in North Korea. And the prisons there are fantastic. I highly recommend you go. You know something else I love about North Korea, too? All the freedom that they have in North Korea. I mean, you have the freedom to wear dark blue or darker blue, for example. And I love that, too. And I love the idea that you can criticize the leadership over in North Korea just like you can here in the United States. The only difference is there, you're shot to death. But hey, listen, nothing is exactly alike. You know what I mean? Nothing's exactly alike. But other than that, we are just like North Korea. I love those guys, too. I went to the Eagles game this weekend with some friends from North Korea. Fantastic time. Kim Jong-un and I are buds. Let me text him right now. Yo, KJ. Oh, sorry, that's Kareem Jean-Pierre. KJP. What's Kim Jong-un? KJU. 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 What's up, man? Actually, the only person who gets along with him quite well is Dennis Rodman. So, but ask Dennis Rodman. He loves the peeps in North Korea. I love some of the food there, too, like cat. All right. 855-839-1210. Kamala Harris saying that we should rebuild by equity is getting blasted all over the place. Now, the White House is trying to walk that back. They had the FEMA director on TV over the weekend. And the FEMA director over the weekend was saying, no, we are going to make sure that everybody who needs help will be completely and utterly rebuilt. We're going to take care of all these people. We're going to make sure that they're okay. You might wonder to yourself, out of curiosity, how does Ron DeSantis play now that he was sending people on these migrant flights to Martha's Vineyard? Do you know that according to a new poll that just came out a few moments ago before I got on the air today, near majority of Florida voters support the migrant flights to Martha's Vineyard? And this is important because Ron DeSantis has to be reelected governor of Florida against Charlie Crist, who's a total fraud. And the majority of voters in Florida support DeSantis' decision to relocate illegal migrants to other states like Massachusetts and New York. It's important to note, Spectrum News Siena College poll. And here's something else, too. Almost 90% of Republican voters support it, which you'd expect. 90% of Republican voters, you would think, yeah, that makes sense. 50% of independent voters support that. But only 10% of Democrats support it. I can't remember who it was, but there was a Democrat mayor in Texas who came on the air, and she was on, and Fox News played this clip, and I should have asked Matt to grab it for me. I just forgot. But she said something to the effect of, I'm glad he's doing it. I support Governor Greg Abbott doing it, Democrat mayor in a city in Texas. Because these communities who support these policies of sanctuary cities and open borders should feel the same exact thing we feel, which is that our resources cannot handle this. So why shouldn't those places? I think by law, if you have a hate has no home here sign in your law, in your lot, you should have to take an illegal immigrant into your home, like a border by law. Remember, I know we don't allow quartering of soldiers anymore. It's prohibited in the Constitution. It's one of the articles in there. I got to brush up on that. But what about that? If you have a hate has no home here sign in your lawn, you must take in an illegal immigrant and live in your home, and the whole family, too. Everybody. That's how we should do it. Just drive around and be like, there's one. Also, if you have a we believe sign, you know, we believe love is love. Science is science. We believe that everyone's welcome. Well, great. Prove it. Here you go. Here's a family of six from Venezuela. There you go. Now, you get nothing. You get no resources to feed them. But you have to take them in. Just like these border towns who are getting no resources for the people that are coming in, but they got to take them in. Now, you've got to take them in, too. If hate really has no home here, then you've got lots of room. No, really, because, I mean, you would think hate would take up a whole bedroom and probably half the garage with all the stuff that hate brings. Hate usually takes up a lot of attic space, too. You ever notice that? I've noticed that, too. Hate winds up carrying a lot of baggage with it. So if hate has no home here, I think you got plenty of space, don't you think? You ever see hate always needs a walk-in closet too? Have you ever noticed that? It's a true thing. Hate winds up having lots of pairs of shoes. Go figure. But hate has no home here, so that's a lot of shoe space. Make these communities feel exactly what the communities in Texas are feeling, and Florida too. Why not? And if the majority of independents support this, that tells me a lot too. Tells me a lot. So remember, the independent voters are the ones who are supposed to be the reasonable voters who, you know, they're not quite sipping Chablis with the liberals on the main line, but at the same time, they're not running around in MAGA hats. The independents are supposed to be so reasonable, we hear all the time. Well, if the majority of independent voters also support this notion of sending migrants, illegal immigrants and migrants to places like Martha's Vineyard, says a lot, does it not? You got Democrat mayors of towns in Texas saying this, also says a lot. And Democrats got a problem here. Because the one thing that everybody wants, whether you're white, you're black, you're Hispanic or not, is a safe community. It's what they all want. Now, they had this rally over the weekend in Philadelphia. So they did something brilliant. The people on the committee to impeach Larry Krasner, led by my friend Amon Brown, who'll be on the show tomorrow at 6 o'clock. They had a hearing in Philadelphia at the Navy Yard, and they listened to victims of crime in Philadelphia say, enough is enough, they cannot take it anymore. And these clowns were outside this holding a mock circus to protest the fact that they would try to impeach the district attorney of Philadelphia. These idiots decided to do a mock circus outside the event. Now, what's interesting is that inside the event, the people testifying about the impact of crime on them and their family were largely black and brown people. All the people outside, the yahoos dressed as clowns and on stilts, all white people, all white liberals. All white liberals outside protesting the hearings. And on the inside, the people impacted by crime in the city of Philadelphia, people who are black and brown. Now, the Democrats are always screaming about racism all the time and always screaming about white privilege and everything else. I don't know what's more privilege than you having the ability in the middle of the afternoon to put on a top hat and act like a clown trying to impersonate the hearings, trying to impeach Larry Krasner. You got time as an adult to act like a circus freak in the middle of the day? That's the epitome of white privilege. But if you got to be in there listening to other people tell their tales of what it's like with the murder and the carjackings and the shootings in Philadelphia, those are black neighborhoods. And Larry Krasner is a white liberal who's a progressive socialist kook. He's a Marxist. He believes criminals are the victims. He believes criminals should be given a second chance. And that guy is the one that they want removed. The families. I'm talking about the families of the victims. They're the ones who want to get rid of Krasner because they know that Krasner is a cancer on the city of Philadelphia. Meanwhile, these yahoos with college degrees and fancy words like Latinx, they're the ones outside literally doing a mock circus to protest the hearings against Krasner. So you're not going to find more of a visual on that in my opinion, than to show you the problem in America right now. With the modern Democrat Party, which has gone so off the rails, crazy town, where they become socialist progressives to the point of where you've got victims pleading with their state legislators saying, please do something about this guy. Do something because the streets are not safe. Our kids are getting mowed down. Well, how do you think people at the border feel in the border towns and the communities when they've got fentanyl coming over the border every single day and they're seeing how their kids are impacted by this? How do you think they feel? And the open border problem creates a public safety problem for them. They also had this, and I thought this was amazing. Down in Texas, they actually had these black voters who came out and demanded that something be done about the open border because they can't find jobs. Because so many people are getting jobs, they're illegal immigrants, and they were saying that this hurts their ability to work. This hurts their ability to find a job. I thought it was amazing. And what a great testament to how these woke policies are blowing up in the faces of Democrats across the country. There's nobody who thinks that allowing a person committed a first degree murder out of prison is a good idea, except for John Fetterman. And he does. He believes it. He endorses the idea. He lives it every single day. 855-839-1210. You know, I'm so proud of my friends at Cherry Hill Volvo and so happy that they're with me here on my return to Afternoon Drive because they are fantastic and they do great work. They really do. And I mean, they're going to give you a great luxury experience. First of all, right now at Cherry Hill Volvo, they have previously owned Volvos that are certified and beautiful. And they have more than 170 point inspection process they have to go through. It's great. And each and every one of these cars is like new without the new sticker price. They are highlighting right now a magnificently bright Fusion Red XC60 with a comfortable and well-equipped blonde interior. The Volvo certified warranty on this unique pre-owned Volvo is good until November 2025 and only has 20,000 miles on the odometer. So this baby's not even broken in yet. Head to Cherry Hill Volvo today for a luxury experience that you deserve. You'll meet my friend Judith Krupnik, the owner, who stands with us every single day. We're broadcasting live at the Cherry Hill Volvo studios because she wanted to step up in the age of cancel culture and say, I want the studio naming rights. And that's exactly why I think the world of her. Judith, Yosef, and the entire team, and my buddy Kellen, one of the great service guys there at Cherry Hill Volvo, who just got engaged over the weekend. Congrats to Kellen. You'll have a great experience, and you'll drive off there with a beautiful, beautiful car that is like new without the new sticker price. So go to Cherry Hill Volvo today, right on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
It is me, Rich Zeoli, back with you in the afternoons where I belong. And thank you for being here today. One thing the show is going to do is have some amazing guests on as well. And I'm very, very happy to welcome back to the show Dr. Marty McCarty. Dr. Marty McCarty is a professor at Johns Hopkins University and author of the book, The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare and How to Fix It. Dr. McCarty, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well. Great to be with you again.
Absolutely. So a couple things I want to chat with you about. First, I want to ask you about is Gavin Newsom in California just signed a law that will punish doctors for spreading, I guess, what he deems to be misinformation. I find this to be ridiculous, unnecessary, since doctors have already different ways you guys can police yourselves. But also just, a way to stifle innovation, for my opinion.
Well, that's right. And it gives a small group of people a tremendous amount of power to take away medical licenses if they're doing something where they have a different opinion. And the reality is that 60% of medical care is discretionary. That is, it relies on the judgment of a physician. There are many things where there's no studies and we just don't know. And it's healthy for doctors to have different ideas and to discuss those ideas. So in California, you basically can't do that anymore if it goes against the public health authority. And I can tell you that they're out to stomp out so-called misinformation, but what used to be misinformation is now fact proven by science. So if they want to go after propagators of misinformation, they can, you know, they're probably going to find themselves going after people who have been in authority in our public health agencies over the last 2 years.
Well, yeah, because it's what they decide what the correct information is. And if you deviate from that, then they want to punish you. And that strikes me as being incredibly political, because as you just said, Dr. Makary, so many things that at one point we thought were wrong turn out to be right. Things that were right turn out to be wrong. And this happens all the time in science.
Well, let's just look at the mistakes of our FDA commissioner, CDC director, Dr. Fauci, the NIH, all of our public health leaders for the last 2.5 years. They failed to warn us of the pandemic. Once the pandemic hit, they told us to wash our hands like crazy. They originally said, don't wear masks. Then they told people to wear the wrong kind of mask. They told people to wear cloth masks. Then they insisted on closing schools. Then when the vaccine came out, they gave it to the wrong people. They gave it to low-risk people because they were so-called healthcare workers, even though they had natural immunity already, leaving people who had no immunity die from not being able to get a vaccine. Then they had the dose wrong. They got the dosing schedule wrong. Europe had banned Moderna in people under 30 because the dose was too high. They ignored myocarditis. They should have spaced out the doses to 3 months. They insisted that schools stay closed. They gave teachers priority to get the vaccine, and then once they got them, they did not reopen the schools. And then they forced kids to wear cloth masks for basically 2 years with lifelong learning loss that came out of it. So tell me who has been the propagator of misinformation when many of us were warning of the pandemic, trying to have an equitable allocation of the vaccine, the appropriate dosing schedule, and recognizing natural immunity and insisting the schools stay open.
I'll give you another example, and I know you're familiar with this. New study reveals trace amounts of COVID-19 vaccine mRNA found in breast milk. And this is very problematic, because they told us that newborn babies should not get the vaccine. No way should they. And they said, but it's perfectly fine for vaccinated mothers to breastfeed their babies.
So what you're seeing is a public health leadership that just makes up stuff when they don't know the answer. And the right answer was, we don't know. When lactating moms and pregnant moms had questions about the mRNA vaccine, the right answer was, we think it's probably safe, but we don't have any hard evidence. Now it turns out that we're learning that the mRNA particles show up in breast milk among moms that have the mRNA vaccine. Normally, there's a biodistribution analysis that's done before any drug is FDA approved, before any vaccine is FDA approved. You see whether or not the vaccine shows up in secretions and breast milk and other things. That was bypassed at the FDA because of vaccine fanaticism to get everybody vaccinated. Now, I think vaccines save lives, and they have when the Wuhan strain was circulating. But the idea that you have to give every 5-year-old 3 doses of the mRNA vaccine when we don't understand myocarditis and we don't understand where the mRNA is showing up, the breast study that came out in JAMA tells us that the vaccine does not stay where it is injected, which is intramuscular. It does spread systemically.
That's kind of dangerous. I mean, I certainly would not want my kids to be subjected to that. If there's even a risk of myocarditis, I think that's incredibly problematic. But this goes to the point you just said. They make it up all the time. And I know that your colleague, Dr. Nicole Sapphire, who you guys are both always out there speaking the truth on things, she, you know, her big comment is that the problem is that we have an FDA in this country, and a CDC for that matter, that are way too in bed with big pharma. And there really is no way to regulate them because of how many people wind up jumping ship from those agencies to go work for big pharma, and how often the CDC and the FDA just stepped aside and said, oh, no, whatever Pfizer says, whatever they say, we'll go with.
Well, the FDA and CDC have basically become subsidiaries of big pharma. Big pharma has a hammer lock on the recommendations. I mean, I walked into CVS the other day into the pharmacy, and I hear an announcement, make sure you get your COVID-19 booster shot brought to you by Pfizer. So I've got Pfizer on the overhead speaker in the pharmacy where I'm picking up my meds, telling me to make sure I get a booster shot, for which there's never been any evidence that I need a booster shot. You know, the biggest groupthink thing that really breaks my heart is the way that hospitals wouldn't allow people to visit their dying loved ones. You know, that was a human rights violation, and it just shows how the groupthink was in full effect. No one dared to challenge that. And that's where we need a free expression of ideas, and that's where we're going to see free ideas really squashed with this new law in California.
Dr. Marty Makary is with me. It's great to have him back on the show today. Professor at Johns Hopkins University and author of the book, The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare and How to Fix It. Yeah, but DeSantis thinks that whatever they decide to be the science is the science. And anyone who steps out of line is then causing, you know, going to kill people and make people die. And we heard this so often from people like him of his mindset, of his ilk. And it really is problematic, not only for freedom of speech, which I think doctors should have, but also for innovation. I mentioned this earlier, too. The idea that you're going to take chances as a scientist, you're going to advocate for even experimental treatments. I mean, what happens if you as a doctor push for an experimental treatment for something which could be life-saving, but now you're afraid that maybe Gavin Newsom or others like him will punish you for that? I mean, I think you're risking people's lives with that. I think there's a real consequence here to medicine and being able to save lives with maybe experimental and novel treatments simply because he may not like it or because it's political for him not to like it, because these are just politicians.
Well, the irony is many of these state medical boards have done nothing when people have reported doctors who have basically killed people. When you have a pattern of a doctor hurting people and they've been reported to state medical boards, many of the state medical boards have done nothing. Look at the story of Dr. Death in Texas. Everybody knew that this guy was killing people, and yet the state board wouldn't pursue it. But a primary care doctor thinks maybe you don't need the COVID vaccine because you've got natural immunity, which is true. Then they are, you know, they go after them. And so this is the great irony right now, selective outrage around, you know, people who descend from the party line. There's no ministry of truth in this country. Science has always been an open forum.
Dr. Marty Makary, it's always good to hear from you. Thanks for coming back on the show today. I appreciate it. You have a great day.
All right. Thanks for having me.
And I will always have you back anytime we possibly can, whenever you're always on the cutting edge of this stuff. I appreciate it. 855-839-1210. So one of the things I wanted to mention to you as well as the show progresses today, and there's a lot to discuss, we are going to talk about the impact of crime, and we're going to talk about Black Lives Matter. And we got a great guest coming up on that. But Joe Biden just wrapped up speaking a short time ago, and we already have some fresh Biden gaffes. I just sent producer Matt DeSantis a fresh Biden gaffe for all of us to enjoy this afternoon, too. We have some other Biden gaffes for you as the show goes on this afternoon as well. But of course, Biden is a gift that keeps on giving when it comes to gaffes. But, you know, this Newsom guy in California is a big, big problem because this guy wants to run for president. So imagine a national law like the one in California to punish doctors for giving out, quote unquote, misinformation. And how much misinformation during COVID? How many times were we told by certain people that this was right, this was wrong, and it turned out to be the exact opposite? Imagine that on the national level. That's the danger of a guy like Gavin Newsom right there. Danger of a guy like Gavin Newsom is he turns around and he decides that whatever the people on The View think is the science becomes the science. And he starts punishing people. So he's very, very dangerous. Whereas I have always been of the idea of you're an adult, you get to choose, you make choices. One of the great things the Trump administration did, for example, was they passed a law called the Right to Try Law, which allows you to be able to try these experimental treatments and overseas drugs that maybe you can't get here in the United States or they're not FDA approved. Why not? If I was dying, God knows I'd want to try something. Why shouldn't I? Why wouldn't I? People during COVID who wanted to try experimental treatments were blasted by the media. You remember that? Blasted. How many times are they told hydroxychloroquine? You can't do that. You can't do this. Can't do this. This is bad for you. This will kill you. The only thing you can do is the vaccine. That's it. Then you find out the vaccine doesn't stop the spread of COVID-19. And they turned around and said, well, it doesn't matter. Get vaccinated anyway. And you'll lose your job if you don't do it. You'll lose your ability to be in the military. You'll lose your ability to defend this country if you don't do it the way we want to do it. You know why they say this? Because in their mind, they decide the science. They're the people with the I believe in science signs. It's really what it should say is, I believe We decide the science. Nobody else. Nobody else gets to decide but us. And if you go outside the lines, you pay the price. Gavin Newsom is a dangerous guy. He's a huge progressive, a socialist, a Marxist. And he will run for president if Joe the Gaff Biden does not. And I don't think Joey's running again. How could he? Maybe Kamala Harris will run again. Apparently she already is president. Did you know that? Oh, yeah, that was Biden speaking at an event today. Do we have that clip? This is Joe Biden at an event. Once again, I guess letting America know who really is the president of the United States of America. This is not the first time he's made this slip. We don't have that one yet, but we'll get this for you in the 4 o'clock hour. Don't worry. First day, getting our sea legs. It's all good. We'll get it. We're rallying. We're working out the kinks, right? And we have lots of kinks to work out, of course, but that's all right. Most important thing about it is that I have my high energy afternoon persona back. So we'll figure out all the kinks. Don't sweat it. DeSantis is waving his hands at me before, and I would try to go to that clip. So I won't go to that clip. Fair enough. You see? I'll roll with the punches. But one thing I can tell you, though, without question, is that if Gavin Newsom runs for president and Ron DeSantis runs for president, you're going to see side by side how these two states handle COVID. And one thing is very, very clear. California and Florida handled COVID in two very different ways, but had very similar outcomes when it comes to COVID deaths. Not when it comes to the economy. California destroyed their economy. Florida's economy was booming. California destroyed the mental health of their kids by shutting down schools. Florida kids were back in school. They were fine. So I say, put it out there. Bring these two records out there side by side. Let me see California versus Florida. Let me see how their policies impacted people's lives. And then let's see if it, in fact, did anything to save lives through COVID-19. Gavin Newsom believed in these extreme lockdowns like Justin Trudeau and these other tyrants like King Philip the Unaccountable in New Jersey, Phil Murphy. They believe in these things. They love these things. DeSantis said, you have freedom. We're going to give you freedom. And as a result, people left California to flock to go to Florida. People left California to go to Texas. The film industry left California and businesses were shuttered and destroyed. But at the end of the day, the same amount of people died. Nothing changed, proving lockdowns don't work and all his guidance doesn't work. And this is the same guy who wants to tell doctors what is and isn't the truth, who wants to punish doctors if they come up with ideas that go outside of what Gavin Newsom thinks is acceptable. We have another virus that comes along and doctors recommend maybe some experimental treatments. And Gavin Newsom would what? Put him in jail? Because they go outside of what Big Pharma wants? And that's the truth. And you know it and I know it too. Big Pharma owns these guys, pays for these guys, tells them what to do and what to say. And these experimental treatments very often are a threat to Big Pharma. And that's why Big Pharma is the first to endorse a bill like this, because they know that if they can punish a doctor who questions their precious vaccines or questions their precious treatments and offers something that's maybe an alternative treatment or something that's a treatment that has not been FDA authorized yet, it's a threat to them and their bottom line. So Big Pharma's all in on this bill in California, this new law. They're all in on it. They would love to see doctors punished for going outside the party line. You know it, and I know it too. 855-839-1210. Listen, Garden State Earthworks, they're going to help you like they helped me years ago. We had a wet basement problem, and it was bad. And winter is coming, and water will freeze and thaw on your property and cause major, major problems for you and your foundation. That's when the worst damage happens in the winter, when that water freezes and thaws and freezes and thaws. But Garden State Earthworks will solve your water problems, whatever those problems are. Reach out to them today and call my buddy Lou at 856-848-4444. 856-848-4444 or visit GardenStateEarthworks.com. He is fair, he's budget-friendly, and he offers free estimates. They're the absolute best at what they do, and they serve the entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. So if you have water problems saturating your property, fix it once and for all with my buddy Lou and GardenStateEarthworks.com. Remember, these problems never take care of themselves. They only get worse. Garden State Earthworks, they're filling up fast because winter's coming. So reach out to them today, GardenStateEarthworks.com.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.